traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Chris Hansen, have a seat.
You call people out, you say, I'm Chris Hansen. They say, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, yes I am.
I'm Chris Hansen.
No, you're not.
Is
that? No, you're not.
My hair may be gray now, but I'm still Chris Hansen.
Are you prepared to throw hands?
I would. I mean, I'm not as good at it as you are.
What do you mean as good as he is? His face.
So he goes to Planet Pizza, gets the pizza, comes over to the house. While I'm interrogating him, he's eating the pizza, offers me a slice, offers the crew a slice.
There's pictures and videos of the entire Clinton family with Epstein, Donald Trump dancing. Stephen Hawking was frequenting the island.
Now, I'll tell you an interesting story about Epstein.
Bro, you actually have Neanderthal in your blood.
More than the average human.
Mike got a 23andMe. He spit in the tube. He got his DNA back. He has more Neanderthal than the average human. Does that surprise anyone? Have you seen his feet?
Like 6% more Neanderthal than the average.
Yeah, right.
Human does.
He also came and told me he's 56% Italian. I said, dude, that makes you Italian. You are no, but then why
fact
would you
matter?
Then why would you never identify?
Because
as
I don't. Because it's 2023. I can identify as whatever I want.
They'll identify something now.
I'll identify as it being 2024. It's not even 2023 anymore. I honestly I didn't know I was that Italian. I knew I had a massive.
Does that show up on your 23andMe?
Nah,
it's just 56% massive.
It doesn't. But I'm from Salerno.
That's no, you're probably not. No, you're not. I'm sorry, but
how the fuck are you gonna tell me where I'm from?
Because you would
you
know
more than my DNA test does. I'm a Neanderthal.
You would know, wouldn't you know if you're like the majority something? And how cool is it to be like, yeah, I'm Italian. You could say that and it would be true. You're majority Italian.
Cause my last name's not Italian. Like when they see my last name, they know I'm not Italian from a namesake standpoint. I thought I was Hungarian, and then the note came back and I couldn't believe it. I'm a descendant of Andrew Tate. I'm Romanian. I'm like 7% Romanian.
I don't know if he's Romanian.
He's not. He's Londonian. He's from like London or California or something.
That hair keeps in and out. Yeah, you might be a descendant of Andrew
Tate. It's not. I went to Turkey. It's thicker than a fucking pirate's beard.
Hmm. You saying you're Italian is like you saying you're from New York. You're from Connecticut.
Then what am I, Logan Paul from Logan Paul Vlogs?
Neanderthal.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's where
that,
I put my
that makes down. Sense.
Guys, we have a guest today. He came all the way to Puerto Rico.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because he wanted to come on Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for watching. Welcome back to the show. Hit that subscribe button. 2024 is going to be a great year. Starting off with some great podcasts. Our guest today was a face of the most insane and popular news reality series ever, To Catch a Predator, where he would confront potential sexual predators on TV. His current series, Takedown with Chris Hansen, can be seen on WatchTrueBlue.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chris Hansen.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe it. Chris Hansen in the house.
You didn't have to stand back up to shake my hand. It's not worth it.
Cordial. Oh, I didn't even say the line. Can you stand up for a second? Chris Hansen, have a seat.
Right over here?
Right there. Right over here. Have a seat right over here.
Are the police outside?
That felt wrong.
Why does he look more ready for Puerto Rican days than we do? You look so beachy.
Well, I had to dig deep into the drawer. Because I'm about to go skiing next week.
I'm sorry, not to interrupt you. Just we gotta figure this mic situation.
Okay, all right. You want to move over?
No, sorry, Chris Hansen. sorry, I just assaulted Chris Hansen.
Okay, that feels
good.
That feels good.
You good?
Where are you going skiing?
Beaver Creek.
Which
is near Vail.
Just know.
Yeah.
There's no snow.
Really?
Yeah, we're in what's called El Nino, which means
I know, but I saw they had 5 inches just the other day. We were in northern Michigan.
I have a question for you. When he talks, do you feel like you're on his show?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I'll answer any
I've
question
got some
you
transcripts
want.
I want to go over with you.
Dude, don't even fucking try it, dude. This is something's not.
You flew to Manchester.
Which was awesome. Loved it.
That's when we first met.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't believe you were down to catch a predator with me.
Yeah, no, it was good. We caught him too. You caught him. You not only caught him, you just about knocked him out.
We got him.
Yeah.
It's so funny, Chris. You're a legend. And when first started doing our interview for your show, you started talking and I got like kind of scared because like the cadence and like rhythm of your voice, all I know it from is
you're in trouble.
You're catching
predators. Well, I mean, you know, 20 years into it. So February will be 20 years from the very first predator investigation. Now, you know, with our own streaming network, True Blue, we've got, you know, a new batch of 60 investigations out and we're doing more every month.
You're doing great work. Not only is what you do entertaining, but like, I wonder how many predators you're dissuading from that activity because they know they're susceptible to being caught by
you. Well, here's the shocking thing. I thought we'd do this three times when we started in 2004, and that would be it. If you had told me 20 years later, we'd still be out there doing these stings and guys would show up, I wouldn't have believed you. Now, yes, I think we've dissuaded and discouraged men from doing this. And this big interview we're about to drop with this doctor we caught in a recent sting, I think will go a long way to do that. And I hope it's a deterrent.
It should be. You've called people out. You say, I'm Chris Hansen. They say, no, you're not.
Yeah. You go, yes, oh, yes, I am. My hair may be gray now, but I'm still Chris Hansen.
They recognize you. They know they're in deep
shit. Yeah, of course
shit.
They do. Of course they do. But it speaks to the big issue here, and that is these guys, and they're not just one type of guy, they're different guys, but in general, they get hooked on porn, sometimes child porn. They get this fantasy going about sex with a teen, and at some point, they blur the line between fantasy and reality, and they're coming to knock on our door and showing up in our sting operations. And more often than not, you'll see in the chat, this isn't a Chris Hansen thing, is it? This isn't a Sheriff Grady Judd thing or a Sheriff Chris Swanson thing, is it? They'll call out the sheriff by name because we work over and over again with the same law enforcement agencies around the country. And the decoy will say, no, 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 who's that? And they show up.
Why?
Because it's just like a heroin addict. They know there's a 20% chance there's fentanyl in the heroin, but they need the fix. And they do it anyway. They know, these predators, that there's a 20% chance.
I know it's everyone's Chris looking Hansen around right now, and you're like, why are people looking? I just have a
sure. Yeah. There's no
so I just wish you wouldn't make that connection because there's once no again, makes me feel uncomfortable.
He wrote a book. There's no shame in it. There is no shame in
it. Well, there is shame in the people you catch, there is, for
but,
sure.
But some of them have an addictive disease, like you had an addictive disease.
Well, I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Because I think the public, you know, obsession with crime and as of recently, pedophilia, people look at pedophiles, and I wanted to ask your kind of stance on this, as the worst people on the planet.
Absolutely. And some of them are. So, you know, we want in this society simple answers. Lock them up. Put them in the chair. Or give them the treatment that works every time. That's not how this works. Right? These are different guys. There are guys right now who want to do this, but have the self-control and are getting therapy to not do it. There are guys who can't control themselves, and with or without the internet, they're going to offend. They're going to sexually assault a child. These are the bad guys, even without the internet, who'd be at the mall, the bad Little League coach, the bad Boy Scout leader. Those guys have to be locked up forever. They're incorrigible. And then there's this guy in the middle who gets, you know, too far down the road on these sites, and they get obsessed with the idea of having sex with a teen boy or girl. And at some point, they can't control the obsession, and they go for it. And they cross their fingers and hope that it's not going to be me or some law enforcement agency.
It sounds a little bit like you have a tone of empathy.
I do.
For some of these people. Is that
true? I do. That is true. And this doctor interview that we're dropping soon is an example of that. This guy, a wealthy man, who's at his practice, and in the course of seeing 18 patients, is chatting up a decoy posing as a teenage girl. Sexually charged conversations. He wants to bring Oreos so she'll get them caught up in her braces. Ugh. He talks about supporting her. So being daddy, I'm going to do you hard, daddy. Says things like that.
How can you have empathy for someone?
Well, like I don't that? In the moment. I don't in the moment. This guy was a bad guy who was going to rape a child. But as always, there's more to the story. And so after I confront him, I mean, he walks into this house, and we have the video, and grabs the decoy, who's actually a sheriff's department employee, in the behind.
Oh, God.
And I walk out to confront him, and I lay it down hard, you know, and I've got the transcripts, and I talk about specifics. And he sent a picture of his penis to this girl while he's at his doctor's office, shows up in a Range Rover, well-dressed, moneyed man. But he had gone down this road with porn. There had been no indication that he had tried to meet a child for sex before, but he was willing to blur this line to fulfill this obsession. And he talks about this. So after the fact, after considering suicide, and we talk about this in the interview, after being locked up in the county jail for 4 days, after losing his medical practice, all his friends, almost his family, he sits down as part of his court-ordered community service and therapy with me for an exclusive interview one-on-one and gets into all this as to how he got there. And I ask him at one point, I said, is there a part of you who's relieved to have been caught? And he says, absolutely. I got my life back. My life is beyond repair at the moment, but I'll get there. And he lays it out honestly with his lawyer and his wife in the room during the interview.
That is the most confusing part about these predators to me is a lot of them, I feel like, have wives.
They do.
Families, kids. Kids the same age as
collateral
the kids.
Collateral damage. Predator? I can't tell you how many times.
Predating?
Kids they're predators
preying upon.
Kids are preying upon.
Preying on.
But I can't tell you how many times. And this collateral damage is a very important part of the story because it destroys families.
Well, sure.
I mean, what's a kid going to think? My dad just got busted by Chris Hansen and the Genesee, Michigan Sheriff's Office. I mean,
how do you tell your wife that,
The thing, the weird thing about it is, it's an incredibly uncomfortable conversation to have. But it's also a very prevalent scenario in the United States of America. And it's strange. I want to talk about it a little bit further down the line in this recent obsession with Holly Weird and Epstein. But this situation, this crime has been happening in the United States and worldwide forever.
Since the beginning of time.
Cheers to the new year from our friends at Manscaped, because your resolution shouldn't be the only things that are well kept. Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or go for that clean shaven look, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code Logan for 20% off plus free shipping. Happy New Year or happy new balls. Also introducing the MVP of 2024, Manscaped's fifth generation lawnmower. It's not just a trimmer, it's your grooming sidekick. Equipped with TWO skin safe blade heads. It's a tongue twister. A standard one for taking a little off the top and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Yeah, let's face it, resolutions might come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay thanks to Manscaped. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com, because nothing says Happy New Year like a deal that leaves your balls and your budget feeling refreshed. Embrace a new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer. Courtesy of Manscaped. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The show.
And I know that you keep bringing up the internet and bringing up digital content and porn specifically. Do you think that we've seen an exponential uptick in this type of activity since digital?
Absolutely. Without question. Okay. Because you talk about these three groups of predators, and the one group has already been active for
those are the dawn of humanity. The lifers.
Yes. Yeah, these guys are the lifers. I mean, these guys are wired for whatever combination of reasons to want to have sex with children. And there are even groups out there now who try to normalize this.
I was going to ask about
that. Yeah, which is total BS.
Well, that's fucked.
Well, I mean, I've seen it on Twitter. Some people would say that, again, you just used the word
maps,
wired.
Maps.
They're wired to think and
minor
attracted.
Attracted persons.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it's, what's the term?
They have it, maps.
Maps. Oh my God.
So sorry. So that, okay, let's go slow here. So right. That is a science accepted. That's not
DSM. It's not, no. It's not science accepted. There's a group trying to make it accepted that this is the way some people are, which that part of it is true. And they're trying to normalize it, which is absolutely abhorrent and wrong on every level.
Normalize the behavior or normalize accepting and trying to both. Therapeutically correct the behavior?
Not so much the therapeutic part, but making it acceptable as a norm.
Okay, that's completely
exactly
false.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and obviously every person has their own perception of everything in life, different, you know, strokes for different folks, right?
Right.
There are some people who will have some level of empathy for the person, right? Maybe if they're, you know, admitting that they fell into a world of porn and they want to work on it, so on and so forth. There are other people who think, and I don't know where I personally fall, but there are other people who think that if you ever show any tendency towards this type of behavior, you deserve to die.
There are people who think that. But I do a podcast called Predators I've Caught, where we go back over these previous cases, go into detail. And sometimes the guys will chat with me for a minute or two, but we do a lot of research. I immerse myself in the transcripts, the interviews, and then we find out what this guy is up to today, what has happened to his life. And I have a very close relationship with the audience. And I have, on numerous occasions, gotten emails from listeners who say, I am predisposed to wanting to have sex with a teen girl or boy, but
I by know way of what
but that's I'm attracted.
Genetic?
I'm attracted. For whatever combination of reasons, I'm attracted to have sex with children. I think about it. But I go to therapy. I would never offend. I'm just being honest with you that there are people out there who have these thoughts but are in control of their lives and don't offend. And that's a funny conversation for me to have with the viewer because on the one hand, you know, you don't want to condone those thoughts or those potential actions. But the fact that the guy was brave enough to come forward and say, I have this issue, but I'm seeking treatment and I'm in a good place right now.
Slightly commendable.
They're not offending.
Where's the line?
If you offend, that's the line.
Because the strange thing about you have these conversations, which I think is good prior to offense. Like you're actually talking to these people, which is fantastic. But there's this weird, you know, line that exists as far as where thoughts, feelings, and emotions even and how they work with the human mind in general. The human mind has a way of focusing on the worst possible things.
Absolutely.
And so I wonder if there are some of these people who are simply a victim of intrusive thoughts, of some level of OCD.
That's it too. And some of them have been perhaps victimized as a child by an adult.
Got it.
Which got them down this path in the beginning. And so you see these people sometimes in these scenarios who have been victimized and in their mind now normalize this sort of sexual activity.
And you got to break the chain.
And you got to break the chain. Yeah. So I applaud somebody who's not offended, who comes forward and says, you know, I get treatment. And I know from talking to therapists who deal with people who have this issue, that if they reach out to somebody early enough in their lives, they can prevent that person from being an offender.
Do they get marked?
Not just by going to therapy.
But by you. If someone is basically admitting
to... There's no way he can remember all.
No, I know. It's a good question. You know, this guy who sends me this heartfelt email and who's nervous to even give me his real name because there's a part of him who thinks I might turn him into law enforcement, even though he's not done anything wrong. But he's not wanting to get on anybody's radar because he's not done anything wrong. The real vexing question here is, what about this virtual reality porn, you know, AI? And if it's made up and not a real child, is somebody getting an experience without offending, Or will it one day turn into an obsession that needs to be fulfilled with a real human?
So we're seeing a case of this right now, not with the underage, but as of, I think, the last week, there was the first ever sexual assault in the metasphere.
Yeah.
Basically, there was a girl who claimed that she was, we can probably find the story, but there was a girl who claimed that she was taken advantage of in virtual reality, which
I don't know,
but it's
because I don't know the story.
Me neither.
What
she like ended up in a room with like a bunch of guys, and it turned in. I don't even know how.
Yeah,
to
these are vexing issues
for sure.
And I'm not pretending I've got the answer to it, by the way. You know, but I can tell you there are.
You can definitely get sexually harassed in virtual reality for sure. But being sexually
I think the question's gonna become like, where is the line drawn for where real world person ends and virtual reality person begins?
But my issue with it when it comes to children, so you know, child porn, evil, bad. Every time an image of child pornography is viewed, it's another victimization of that child, without question. Horrifying. In my mind, right? Yeah. But if they do it in virtual reality, if it's, you know, an AI
child,
and there isn't a real child there, my argument would be that at some point, the porn isn't going to be enough and they're going to want to offend. So to me, that's
just as evil as real child porn.
For sure. You're encouraging the
image of a child being sexually exploited, and that's wrong.
Well, it's once again a question of scale of depravity.
Well, because that and the laws keeping up with what the digital world allows people to do.
But what the reason I say that is, we just also had this conversation with Elon as of recently. I can go into a virtual reality world right now and take out a machine gun and mow down an entire police force, killing all of them.
Sure.
And that's a very acceptable thing in today's day and age. You can go in Grand Theft Auto, I can murder an entire family, I can do whatever I want in that world. So what I'm doing is I'm dialing this conversation back now to where I started, which was, and I think we all inherently agree with it, but what is it that makes the assault of a child, I guess it's that it's a child, right?
Exactly.
That makes people so much more, like, for example, December 14th, 2023, Lake County, Florida, prosecutors announced they are seeking death penalty for a man accused of committing sexual battery of a minor. So under the age of 12. So Florida would be the first state to actually potentially seek a death penalty, capital punishment for sexual assault of a minor. So basically putting it in the same category as capital murder.
Well, I think it deserves to be there in certain circumstances.
Does that deter every predator immediately?
I don't think it necessarily deters every predator immediately. It's going to make some guys think.
If you get caught, you're going to die.
Or you could die.
But, you know, going to prison for the rest of your life, that you would think would be a deterrent. I mean, you're right. And I think in some cases, I do not think that's too extreme.
But even going to prison for the rest of your life, like I followed your show, and like I am definitely one of the people that has watched all the clips available on YouTube. And I'm often actually surprised at how light the penalties were.
Well, so am I. And I think in the very beginning of our investigations, there was a temptation to view this by some members of the judiciary, even in the prosecutor's office, as a TV sting. As it's a TV sting. So yeah, it's bad, but it wouldn't have happened unless we did the predator investigations. Mm. I would argue that by the time they get caught in one of my investigations, they've already offended before. I hear it all the time. It's my first time. I've never done this before. And in some cases, that's true. I don't think the doctor, Parminder Jaswal, offended with a child prior to showing up at our house. Would he have done it that night? Absolutely. Without question. He would have had sex with a teenage girl. I wholeheartedly believe it. But will he do it in the future? I don't think so.
How much of you does this for entertainment versus doing good?
Like impact?
It all started for doing good. Now, unquestionably, that's still the goal. along the way, it became something that was bigger than that. And undeniably, there are humorous moments, iconic moments.
The pizza.
The pizza.
Do you know about that?
I mean,
no.
I posted something yesterday. Are you aware of the Steelers Ravens?
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a predator who showed up, John Dupuy,
yep,
in Fairfield, Connecticut. And he said he just came over to watch the football game. Steelers Ravens, as he said. And so this thing became iconic. So I'm in the American Airlines Club on the way here yesterday, and I look behind me, and it's the Steelers Ravens. So I take a picture for Instagram with, you know, my mug in it with the game in the background, and it went crazy because people know that. So it has that iconic status. It's bigger than any other franchise that I've, you know, been involved in 43 years of being a journalist.
I think it was the most successful TV show on the network.
One of them.
That pizza evidently became like a famous dish at that pizza place. Do you know that?
Planet Pizza. Well, you know the story behind Planet Pizza, right? So we're doing this investigation in Fairfield, Connecticut. It aired on Crime Watch Daily when I was doing that show. And my son was one of the cameramen. And he had attended Fairfield Prep, not far from there. And this predator was coming all the way from Boston. And I said, "Hey, Chase, what's a good spot to meet?" He goes, Planet Pizza. I said, "Great." So he goes to Planet Pizza. The cops see him go to Planet Pizza. Jeff Sokol,
yep,
gets the pizza, comes over to the house. He's got a marriage contract in the car. This whole big thing evolved. And while I'm interrogating him, he's eating the pizza. Offers me a slice.
Offers
the crew a slice. And so Planet Pizza, whether they wanted the notoriety or not, you know, for that investigation became the official pizza of Hansen versus Predator.
Well, pizza has a role in pedophilia.
Just isolate that sentence.
No. No, you say.
What are you talking about?
No, I know. You're talking about Pizzagate.
Correct.
Which is a totally made up thing.
Okay. Can we please get into some of this shit right now? Are you cool with it?
Yeah, I'm fine with whatever you guys want to do, but it is all BS.
Okay,
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Hang on,
it's this whole conspiratorial thing.
Maybe you can explain it better, but I'll give you a quick rundown. Basically, as I mentioned earlier, a swath of society has become obsessed with elitism.
This has been going on for 10 years, probably.
Right. Yeah. Remember when I used to talk about like QAnon and like that type of shit? And at the time, it was a smaller base. I think they've really found a footing, especially with X and their ability to weaponize or materialize. But basically, there's this belief that elitists or politicians ordering pizza symbolizes them ordering underage boys and girls, basically.
Pizzagate, yeah.
So, like, for example, there's like this, I don't even know if it's real, but there's this like transcript of a call from like Obama to order like pizza and hot dogs to the White House, right? And they think that means that he was ordering. Like,
yeah, but it's all, I guarantee you, I can predict without fear of contradiction, it's all conspiratorial BS.
For sure.
And you're sure.
I'm positive.
What makes you so sure?
Because
I want to
just. Absolutely no evidence of it. And if anybody would know, somebody would come to me and say, "This is the deal. You need to look at this." It doesn't exist. It's been investigated. It's been reviewed. It is all BS.
And you realize, so just so you know, this led to an actual one of these people going into a pizza place that I think it was called Comet Pizza or Ping Pong. I don't remember what it was. And I think it was
There was a pizza place in Virginia in suburban Washington, D.C.
Yep.
That allegedly this was going on.
Where these kids were actually being harbored
there was also a thing 2 years ago where there was a rumor and a conspiracy theory that if you ordered furniture from a discount Wayfair, that you were actually ordering a child.
Kids in a cabinet.
Again,
these conspiracies and stories actually do a disservice to the real work that's being done?
I think they do, but I think that's part of having an open digital culture. I mean, anybody can say anything at any given time and it can catch fire. People have said stuff about all kinds of people. Anybody who's in the public world has been somehow, you know, tortured or lied about.
Well, I mean,
people say Twitter hates it. Well, Twitter hates everything.
They did
you know, Twitter hates everything. You can, you know, I helped Mother Teresa across the street because she returned, you know, to
of
life today.
It was a white lady.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, I mean, Twitter hates everything.
So, okay. So at one point, this was a semi-siloed conversation, which now has continued to explode. And honestly, in some ways, for good reason. I mean, we're in the midst of another Epstein, you know.
A dump of information, absolutely.
Situation, exactly.
Go ahead. I'll tell you an interesting story about Epstein. In about 2015, I was meeting with some people who had done some investigative work on Epstein. And it's before the story. I mean, he had been in the news because he had done that 18-month or...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Just a little over your sentence where he'd, you know, spend the weekdays in the county jail. And there were lawyers representing victims, and they weren't ready to speak out yet, and that was the key to it. And I tried to fashion a sting around the New York residence where some of this stuff was happening. And the layers of security and the way it was set up, it was just, we couldn't pull it off. So after spending months looking at the Epstein story and trying to do that, and the compound in Florida was just too difficult to, the system was too difficult to
infiltrate.
What do
you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
We tried to get somebody in there to see what was going on with a hidden camera. I spent a lot of time working on the story, and it just didn't go anywhere in terms of the way I wanted to report.
So you attempted to catch Jeffrey Epstein?
We looked at infiltrating to see if these allegations were continuing and were true. The reason why the story got out there and the reason why he was prosecuted was the Miami Herald, who stayed with this story, and one of the reporters down there, Julie K. Brown, who wrote a book ultimately, every day they pounded away. And this speaks to the importance of local news and newspapers. And she convinced some of these victims and survivors to speak out publicly. And the U.S. attorney in New York at the time said as much in the news conference when they announced the charges against Epstein. But without the Miami Herald, you wouldn't see this prosecution today. And we just got so hung up on doing it in a captivating, you know, on-camera televised way that we couldn't pull it off. And it was the old-fashioned reporting of the Miami Herald that brought this to light the second time around.
What red tape were you running into?
It wasn't red tape. It was logistics of doing the story. Nobody said you can't do the story. Nobody
yeah,
said,
like that's what I was
No, and doing. I was, at the time I was working for, you know, I was doing stuff for Discovery. I was doing stuff on my own. We were talking about doing Cromwich Daily. There were a number of places where this, I could have released it on my own on you know, digital social media. But nobody said, don't touch this or the important people are involved. It was just, I had to, in my mind, I wanted to do it up here with hidden camera video. And that just couldn't be done. And I got busy with other topics. It was the old fashioned reporting of the Miami Herald that got this done. And that's my point.
Fact finding, yeah. So on and so forth. Yeah. So I mean, obviously, like, this story, once again, is like a microcosm for this, like, greater investigation into elite in that community that I described. And I think, curiously for all of us, into elitism and...
But he's one of the ultimate predators, right? Him and Peter Nygaard, we did a big story on him. He had the big compound in the Bahamas and multiple... and impregnating girls and using the stem cells from the fetuses for, you know, youth, you know, enhancing... things that he was up to. These are bad guys.
Like stem cells.
Like he would impregnate these girls down to the Bahamas at his compound and then harvest the aborted fetuses and have them injected in himself.
So like that.
Thing.
So, but
those are bad.
But
those
here's
are
the
bad
question.
Guys,
like
they were able to, guys like that and Epstein were able to use money, influence, and figure out ways to infiltrate these other people's lives. And sometimes they dangled sex and massages in front of them. Sure, absolutely.
So you're not denying that things of that just insane storyline or of that just ridiculous nature actually happen.
Sometimes they happen.
You're just denying those specific stories that I brought up.
Pizzagate is BS. But my point is Epstein was a bad guy who lured a lot of people in there. A lot of people, you know, were weak and engaged in bad behavior with him. But at the core of it, Epstein is the predator who was preying upon intelligent people, wealthy people. I mean, this guy, you know, had...
He's as bad as it gets.
It is. He and Peter Nygaard and is right up there with
him. Were they protected?
I mean, I think there were lawyers hired by wealthy people who were on the periphery of this thing.
What about politicians?
I don't think there was any official government action, or there was no action by an investigating agency like the FBI to say, okay, you know, Clinton's name pops up here, we're not going to do anything about it, protect him. I don't think that happened.
Was he John Doe 63 or whatever?
Well, he was in there. I mean, there are pictures of him there. He was, you know, he flew on the plane. His family flew on the plane. Epstein was able to open the doors for, you know, the daughter's wedding, Chelsea's wedding, and, you know, secure yachts and properties and things like that. So, but he was good at, you know, so are these people taking part in all the sex parties? We don't know.
That's the question.
Or is he just manipulating, you know, people and then getting a photo of a guy getting a massage on a flight? Again, you shouldn't be doing it. You know, this guy got popped and, you know, on one charge in Florida, people should do their due diligence and not hang out with folks.
So you think it may have just been laziness of the people?
I think there was some of that. I think, you know, if you're a single guy and there's a guy you don't know anything about as criminal, you don't know that he's got a criminal background. He's got a jet and an island. You may go take a trip with him, not knowing that he was engaging in wide scale human trafficking. I mean, bad stuff. And Ghislaine Maxwell was right there with him.
See, you have a little bit more hope.
Well, I see nuance to it.
That's important.
But I'm not defending Bill Clinton. I'm not defending Bill Gates. I'm not defending any of these people.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't make that up.
I'm sorry. Can you explain Stephen Hawking
was frequenting the island. He was frequenting the island.
Have you seen the memes?
I've seen the memes.
What do you make of those?
I mean, disturbing.
He's dead.
It's just.
But it goes to the point where that's how good he was at corrupting people and getting them involved in this stuff. Now, again, you know, I can't tell you that there was no illicit sex that took place.
Because we don't know.
And we don't know. And they put themselves in danger by saying, okay, we're going to go hang out with Epstein. Did they get into it for illicit sexual activity?
Maybe not.
We don't know. But he was good at getting a lot of good, smart people with money in his circle.
It's just become so politicized as well.
Of course it has.
Listen, there's pictures and videos of the entire Clinton family with Epstein. There's pictures of Donald Trump dancing with Jeffrey Epstein, dancing, pointing at him, doing the finger guns,
and then
claiming he never knew who he was.
And then claiming that he banned him from Mar-a-Lago because he was hitting on, you know, somebody's daughter or an employee there. Well,
the video shows them looking like literally like best friends.
Yeah.
And so I think
well, that timeline might also be what
the question is like who truly knows? I think there's a lot of speculation, but dialing it back, I want to bring it back up a level. Epstein has become the face of this elitist investigation into elitists and Hollyweird and so on and so forth. And I want to ask you this question. Right now, there's a general public, you know, like I said, obsession with investigation into Hollywood and what people are doing there. Do you think statistically Hollywood represents a bigger majority of predatory scenarios, or do you think middle America represents a higher statistic probability?
Well, I think... for high profile cases like Weinstein, I mean, this is a horrible case. This guy was a bad guy, you know, and the multiple, and not just allegations, but you know, clear cut cases where he was preying on women.
Horrible.
Horrible. And so he is arguably at one time one of the biggest Hollywood figures. So you got to think, okay, if Weinstein's doing it, who else is doing it? So I see why people have that perception of Hollywood being Hollyweird, and I get it all the time on social media, you know, lay off the regular guys and go after, you know, everybody in Hollywood. Well, I don't think everyone in Hollywood is engaging in this type of behavior, but we have seen some of the highest profile cases in recent history involving Hollywood people.
Well, of course, when
you have money and you have a sense of impunity and you don't think you can get caught and you've got all this power, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. It's an old adage, but it's true. And so these high profile cases kind of take over the public's imagination and for good reason. But I don't think you know, statistically, the kind of predatory cases I investigate, I don't know that there's any more in Hollywood than there are.
What is the data? I mean, what is the data?
There is no data. It's so ubiquitous. I can't scientifically tell you one way or the other.
Well, certainly you can draw out a per capita predatory.
Well, I can tell you that in Riverside, California, we got X many guys. I can tell you in, you know, Polk County, Florida, we caught X many guys.
This is when I wish we had a real research producer on the show. Because right. I would love to see a per capita figure on predatory scenarios.
But it's a hard number to get to. Now, I can tell you that if I'm near a military base, we're going to statistically see more military guys. If I'm in an area of a certain, you know, racial societal makeup, we'll see, you know, you see whoever lives in the area where you're doing the investigation.
It's weird how the perception has changed, is all I'm saying.
But
it's like,
understand it because of the high profile cases we've seen. Yeah.
But it's like when I was growing up, I didn't think, okay, when I was growing up, it was never a thought of mine. If I go to the Golden Globes, I'm at risk. My thought was always, if I'm at a truck stop in Alabama, I'm at risk.
Well, I think you could argue it both ways. You know, this is a global problem that occurs all over the world, and it's not going away by just arresting the people. So your best defense and the most important message of the entire Predator franchise is you have to educate kids to be aware without totally freaking them out, but you start the conversation when they first have access to the internet. And it's like this, there are grownups who like to trick kids. Kids don't like to be tricked. You start there and you ratchet it up as they get older and have more access to the internet. I had lunch today with somebody who said, I want to thank you. And it was a friend of the people I was having lunch with. I said, why is that? He goes, I was homeschooled as a kid and I had a lot of time on the internet. And my mom made me watch your shows. And it helped me understand that there was danger out there. I get approached all the time in public. My wife and I will be out at dinner and somebody will say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. Just this happened to me as a kid. And every time you bust somebody, it makes me feel better about myself knowing that I'm a victim. That's why we do it. I mean, yeah, there's a big television component to it. It's been wildly successful. People watch it for a lot of reasons. You know, we've got something like 5 billion hits on YouTube alone. And I understand the pop culture nature to it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to keep doing it because it raises awareness and creates a dialogue that has to continue. You can't jail them all. So your best defense is education and to have this discussion. We've done it in Northern Michigan. We've done it in Southern Florida. We've done it East Coast, West Coast, in between. It goes on everywhere.
How many people are doing what you do and not airing it? Or do you think the two go hand in hand? Because I think you just said it, the key word is education, right? Like you can do this off air and that's awesome. But if you're showing people the dangers and the intricacies of how this happens and how you arrive in that house, in the sting, I think it's personally as a media kid, I personally think that is much more effective than doing to be like noble about it.
Right, I think the combination, right? The first two times we did it on our own with an online watchdog group called Perverted Justice. And they had the decoys. We did the confrontations and the guys left. Now, in the first two investigations, law enforcement did successfully prosecute a number of those cases, but it became very clear to me that going forward, we had to somehow collaborate with law enforcement. And we've adapted that collaboration over the years to ensure the credibility of the criminal cases. And because of that, virtually every case is prosecuted successfully. Virtually every case. Now, there are citizen groups, vigilante groups that do this, and they go on YouTube. Yeah. YouTube, interestingly, and I just found this out this past week, YouTube is apparently taking down these sorts of sting operations if law enforcement is not involved. Not just demonetizing, but taking them down.
So Gideon, one of our YouTube friends, actually had to team up with a police officer in order to film that video because he researched beforehand and knew that YouTube would take it down. But as you know, and as you just mentioned, there's also a group of people, which I hate to, like, I don't want to promote it, but like you kind of have to think it's kind of awesome that go and when they have evidence that someone's done something like this, they just beat the fuck out of them.
What?
On camera. Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Right. That's vigilantism.
I'm not claiming it's okay to be vigilante.
I get in trouble every time I talk about this, I get hate on social media that I'm somehow dissing these people who go out and do good work and expose these guys. There is definitely a place in the world for citizen journalism, right? Podcasts and YouTube channels,
citizen violence.
Yeah, citizen violence is a different thing. You can't solve a crime by committing a crime.
Right. So
I'm against it. And again, I can already read it, you know, right now. And then they'll reach out to my wife and then could you tell Chris not to do yeah. If you're not prosecuting these cases and you're just doing it for public shaming,
right,
there's a real discussion to be had as to whether or not it's a worthy thing to do.
Okay. If these pedophiles or potential pedophiles do get the shit kicked out of them,
you could argue they deserve it, but that's not the way I'm going to do it.
Do you think that would be a deterrent more so than potentially being caught? If you know every time you're going to show up to do some pedophilia, you're going to get your ass beat.
But that's not how our society works.
Do you think it should work like that?
I think they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah, sometimes I just think violence can really solve a lot of problems.
I understand the mindset.
You know,
yeah, it is a school of thought, but also at the same time, that violence is coming in a much sharper way when they get to jail.
Right,
like,
but
you know
again,
what I'm saying? Like the jail
again,
sentences.
Does committing a crime to solve a crime really do what we want to achieve in society?
If you could group all crime into the same bucket as right. equal fine,
and I understand
this is
listen,
so much
no,
worse.
Nobody's going to argue more stridently than I would
yeah.
that this is the among the worst crimes ever conceived or executed.
Because I wondered this when I'm watching
it.
You hit these guys in this room and you're beaming them with questions. Like, no part of you is just so disgusted by this human in front of you.
Of course
you just
want
to strike them.
I'm not... Look, in this particular case, and we have... some video of that interview if you guys decide to use some of it. There is some compassion for this particular case, but there are some just stone cold predators who I have zero compassion for. Lock them up.
Do they ever scare you? How are you not fearful?
I am sometimes. You can't be brave unless you've experienced fear, you know, but you have to understand the risk to do it. And I do understand the risk, and I do understand what's out there. It's as safe as it possibly could be for what we do, and we do have law enforcement present. So you know, the first time we did it, it was way more risky than the way we do it today.
Yeah, cops. I mean, Chris, I would see you in this room with what I would consider a dangerous, unpredictable,
absolutely.
Individual.
But what you don't always see are the layers of security that we have in place there too.
Are they outside? Because I never
They're
see
in them. The house.
Okay. What yeah. what kind of like security or
security,
law enforcement?
Security. Both. We've had both. Before we had law enforcement, we had individual security.
Sometimes you get even the decoy will get really close to these individuals.
Well, we have a protocol and sometimes, you know, it's impossible to follow it exactly. But you'll see me say, I need to see your hands or get your hands out of your pocket. And in different jurisdictions, we do it differently. In some cases, if we see that there's a risk, law enforcement will take the guy down first, do the initial interview, then I'll get a chance to talk to the guy. It's still very interesting to get inside this guy's head and to see the process of what happened and the chat and the interaction with the decoy.
This is another question I had.
Sure.
Why do they sit down and converse with you with cameras in their face?
Well, initially they don't see the cameras because it's all on cameras they don't see, on hidden cameras. So in their mind, which is, you know, spinning
at the moment,
trying to figure out, okay, is this Chris Hansen? Is this a cop? Is this the bad dad? What's going on here? They're just trying to figure it out. Sometimes they know right away it's me and go, hey, it's Chris Hansen. This is cool. I said, it's not that cool, son. You know, have a seat right over there. And I think a couple things happen. One, they're overwhelmed by being caught. And so they're just going to try and talk their way out of it. Two, they know it's me and they figure, okay, they've seen the show enough times so they know this is the part where they sit and talk to Chris. Honestly,
is there a level of that that
yes,
they're like,
is.
Holy shit, I'm about to be on a TV show. This is
yes,
sick.
Absolutely. Oh. I think in some cases, that's exactly what happened.
But being a pedophile is bad enough as it is.
Right.
Being a pedophile that is exposed to
but they don't see
the
themselves.
World is,
they don't see themselves as a true pedophile. They see themselves as a guy who made a mistake, or in their mind, they've had time to say, well, of course, they said they were 14, but that was just role playing. And
so they'll try to like rationalize it.
Yeah, they've already, by the time they get there, they've already rationalized it. They've already thought, I think in many cases, they've already thought, okay, this could go wrong for me. And if it is law enforcement, if this is a sting or it is Chris Hansen, what am I going to say? And they've thought this through.
There's three different scenarios that I want to talk to you about and I want to ask you about here. One you just kind of brought to mind in these kind of weird depravity situations that are filmed. There was a story of a woman on YouTube recently who got caught on a beach masturbating. I don't know if
I didn't see this, no.
So she was actually... The police body cams, they caught her on the beach. She had never been arrested before. She was just drinking by herself on the beach and was caught masturbating on the beach. She was charged for lewd act, and the story went away. The GoPro video was released a couple months ago on YouTube, went viral on TikTok, and she was shamed to a point that she actually took her own life.
Yeah.
And obviously, the story I'm bringing up here is far from a pedophilia situation, but it is just another example of how these scenarios being filmed change the game. And that leads me into this 2008 cancellation, technically, of the show. And if you want to comment on or even talk about
it. No, I can tell you all about it. It didn't lead to the cancellation of the show. It's that somehow that got out there in the public domain. But what happened was we did a sting in Texas, and on a Saturday night, an assistant district attorney had been chatting with two different decoys posing as 13-year-old boys. He was an assistant district attorney, DA. Right? He doesn't show up, but in Texas at the time, the solicitation of a minor for sex qualified as a felony. And the local police department went to go arrest him the next day. We were in the street covering the arrest. They get inside the house, and he's got a laptop that he's been trying to get the hard drive out of. Sees the police coming, has a gun, says, I'm not going to hurt you guys. Shoots himself. Horrible. You don't want to see that happen. What was on the computer? We later find out that he had multiple images of child pornography. And within the last couple of years, we found out that he had evidence on that computer of wrongdoing by his boss, the elected prosecutor in that county, that sent him to federal prison. So there was a lot more going on there than just getting caught in a sting operation. There was the embarrassment of having child porn and knowing that in Texas at the time, he faced 10 years in state prison for every image of child porn, and what he had on the computer met to the T the definition of child porn in Texas. I know that for a fact. I know that from the Texas Rangers. And I also know from one of the investigating officers at the time that some of that information relating to his boss, the elected DA, sent that elected DA to federal prison. So, you know, there was a lot more going on there than some guy, oh my, I'm embarrassed.
Wow. You know? So I mean.
And if it was up to, quite honestly, if it was up to us, if we were driving the ship, I would have rather stayed another day in Texas and watched him get arrested at his office at the DA's office. It's better television. We merely covered what the police department was doing.
Got it.
Now, again, don't want to see a guy do that. It's horrible. Any suicide's horrible. But, you know, that's the way it went down.
Or some people would argue otherwise. You know, I understand
the argument. All I'm saying is there was a whole lot more going on there than anybody realized at the time. And people who say that canceled the show, that's just not true. We went on and did a bunch of other investigations afterwards.
That was just in my notes.
Yeah, well, it is because it became a part of the narrative, mostly spread by people who didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Like our
about.
Producer, I mean, Dylan.
No, it's out there. It's out there. And there is this feeling that To Catch a Predator was canceled because of that incident. Well, that's not what happened. We went on to do other investigations, and at some point, the show became very expensive for NBC, and NBC had all this great material that they had not aired, and they did other versions on MSNBC, the cable property, for years and years. And then I went out and did it again for Crime Watch Daily, and then we do it now for my streaming crime network, True Blue.
we were talking about your safety quickly, and I just want to ask you about this. Do you remember the show Cheaters? Obviously has to be a part of your safety protocol reasoning. So
I'm aware of the show. I'm not sure I know the incident you're referencing.
So in 2003, the host of the show, Joey Greco, boarded a boat of someone who was being accused of cheating on their wife or girlfriend and got stabbed numerous times on the show. Oof. So I wondered if
that's a bad day at work. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, we have a protocol, and you know, as best as we can, and as best as law enforcement can, they look at the background. If this guy's got a history of violent crimes and he's got a license to carry a weapon, you know, they're going to put in place a different protocol than if it's a guy who's, you know, 28 and, you know, works at a place where you wouldn't need a weapon, you know?
Just from what I've seen from your shows and your overall safety, do these individuals, pedophiles and violence often go hand in hand?
Typically,
I feel like they don't.
Typically not. Because you have somebody who picks on a child, oftentimes is a coward.
Yeah, this isn't like a strong, like aggressive individual. They're trying to stay behind the scenes and do illegal shit.
Now I'm going to say that, and we're going to have some incident in the next thing. But generally, I'm being facetious to make a point.
But that's how life works, Chris.
Yeah,
damn exactly. Knock on wood.
But I, you know, again, we take every precaution possible.
Are you prepared to throw hands with one of these fuckers?
I would. I mean, I'm not as good at it as you are.
Yeah, obviously. But you're like 6'3". You're not going to be easy to
What
take
do you mean as good as he is? Look at his face.
He's got a shiner going on there.
Oh, yeah.
Kid's 0-17 in the boxing ring.
Bro, stop. Why does everyone think I lost every fight? As I say this with a black eye. Yeah. What the fuck, man?
You won the fight I saw. That's what I know.
For sure.
You look pretty strong in that fight.
I'm 1-1, baby. Yes. Yeah, except Kevin Owens, bro. I'll never forgive you. I'm going to catch you in court, Kevin Owens. Drink Prime.
It's good.
Thanks.
Drink Prime. Who makes this?
I actually prefer cred, if I'm being honest. I got cred, boys. I got cred, bitches. I got cred. I was at the WWE event. I saw I got cred side slash or hashtag drink cred. You know what cred is?
I know it's a drink.
South Park spoofed Prime.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They did it's called cred. So the kids are in school like, I got cred, bitches. I got cred. A full episode. It was an honor. Yeah. I was going to say, you know what's crazy? When I invited you to Manchester for that bit, you told me that one of your camera guys was like a neighbor of mine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, who?
Jason.
Jason. Yeah. I go, what do you mean a neighbor? Like, who? I didn't have that many neighbors growing up. And it was my next door neighbor at my dad's house growing up. His name was Jason Fraley. If I could say his last name. Dude, we would hang out with this kid all the time for years and years and years.
And now he's one of my camera guys and one of my editors.
And so when I was like, yeah, dude, you want to do this? He's like, yeah, I'm bringing your neighbor. From when you were 10, we made videos with him. My dog bit him once. His dad would fix our garage often. My dog bit him, dude, because he was kind of afraid of the dog. And this is one of those dogs.
Be a Fraley? He bit Fraley?
Yeah, he bit Fraley. Yeah. His dad came over and said to my dad, he's like, yeah, he bit the blood out of him. Made him bleed. He was a bad dog. DOG would bite DOG. We named the dog DOG.
Is that the one that's on the floor?
No, that's Yogi.
Oh, okay. His dad taxidermied one of the dogs and turned it into a rug, like a rug?
It's not a rug. That's fucked up. It's just a taxidermy dog who looks like a real dog.
Yeah.
It's still fucked up, but not as fucked up as making the dog a rug. That's insane. Greg has his limits. You ever deal with pedophile ghosts?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Pedophile women.
You know what? There have been, in the last 6 months, an amazing number of cases of female teachers ranging in age from mid-20s to the 70s accused of inappropriate sexual relationships with underage students. I mean, if you Google that right now, and we've done at least a half dozen stories on True Blue, we do a segment called True Crime Nation, and we've done a lot of these cases. It's shocking. Now, there've always been cases, but I've never in recent history seen as many coming out as I have in the last 6 months. It is absolutely amazing. And there's a case in Tennessee where a woman is accused of having sex with a student. She is the wife of a sheriff's deputy. And some of this allegedly went on in the house, and apparently she's now pregnant with this student's child. And so the guy who's the sheriff's deputy, you know, it's a small town, and so the lawyer representing her used to be a sheriff's deputy as well. I mean, it's this small world, but it's like, what the heck is going on? Was this happening before and we don't know about it? Is it happening more? I think kids are becoming more comfortable talking about it. I think there's also been this notion that it's every little boy's dream to, you know, to get it on with his teacher.
That's definitely true.
Maybe, but it doesn't make it right.
Not maybe. No, of course it's not right. But like, you know, I think a lot of young men would tell
a crush on an older teacher. Yeah. But that doesn't mean the teacher should have sex with them.
No, of course not.
But no, every boy has crushes on older women. That's natural.
So are the boys in the wrong at all?
Legally, they cannot be. But, you know, action-wise, maybe they did something that was naughty and they shouldn't have done. But, I mean, legally, you can't give consent until you're a certain age. So no matter how it goes down, it would be the adult's criminal activity.
You just mentioned it, and I'm shocked at how many of these cases there are, especially because they're so public. Like, what do these women think they're going
to
get away with?
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where we are commissioning a major documentary at True Blue on this whole subject. I mean, every week, my producer, Kelly McClure, and I are back and forth, and Sean Reck, who's my partner at True Blue, talking about these things. And it's I think it's worthy of a major documentary, and we're going to do it.
It also brings up a lot of questions around like the public perception or public sentiment towards women sex offenders versus male sex offenders, and how how women are viewed in these type of scenarios versus how men are viewed. I mean, men, and I mean, even in this room, I'm sure we probably look at it with completely different sentiment. You know, an adult male and having intercourse with a non-consenting minor, we're like, yo, let's kill this person.
Right
now, you know, let's band together and kill this person. When a female does it, you're like, we look at it in a much different light. And that conversation recently has gone viral, especially as you see, you know, it's even strange to say, but like when you see some of these teachers,
they look like normal.
No, they don't. They look like fucking pinup girls. Some of them are beautiful. And the funny viral thing on social media right now is like, where were these girls? Yeah. Do you know what my teachers look like? You know what I'm saying? They were 90 years old. And the music teacher that taught us how to play piano, she was a fucking gremlin. Are you serious?
You didn't have one pretty teacher?
No, there were. They were usually like substitutes because they had, you know what I'm saying? Like they had just gotten their masters or whatever. They were like 24, 25.
It was the substitutes.
Subs were always hot.
Or the, what are they called? Student teachers.
Yeah, student teachers. They're like 20, 21, whatever. And you're like, you know, you're like 14. You're like, wow, she's so hot. But like, it is crazy how differentiated.
You know why. And you know why.
Yeah, it's power.
I would presume it's just because the inherent nature of sex, like how it occurs.
I'll give you an example where there was a 13-year-old kid in Oregon, Washington State area who was hanging out with other kids the same age. And there was a 26-year-old woman who was pretending to be 15, 16, who was also hanging out. She takes this kid on a wild trip. There's sex and all kinds of stuff. And now the mother, the single mom, has the son back in his young teen years, and she's got to figure out, okay, how do I raise this kid after he's had this crazy experience and he's already had sex and everything, and how do I make him realize that's not normal, it's not right, he was taken advantage of, and how do I stop him from taking advantage of somebody in a sex? It creates huge issues.
The trauma.
This isn't this isn't a schoolboy fantasy come true. There's trauma and long-lasting effects here.
For sure.
And the law is the law when it comes to consent. So, yeah, we're not talking about a 17-year-old having sex with a 15-year-old here. It's not a Romeo and Juliet situation. We would never set up a sting with somebody who is 17 and somebody who's 15. You know, it's even 18, 15 you have to depend on the circumstances. But, you know, this is different. These are adults who have been educated, who enter in to a sexual relationship knowingly with somebody who is not of the age of consent.
Would you consider that to be the definition of pedophilia? Yes.
Well, no. Pedophilia has a very specific definition in American psychiatry, having to do with a child who's prepubescent.
And because that term gets thrown around all the time nowadays.
Exactly, a pedo, pedophile, but technically that's the definition, simplified. And, you know, we always use the word predator because it's more appropriate and more accurate in terms of what we're investigating.
Got it.
Do you think this is going to be your life mission? Is this what you're going to be known for? Is this what you want to do for the rest of your life?
Well, it's going to be a part of it. You know, we do a lot of different documentaries all in the crime space. I mean, obviously, you know, if I'm doing politics, it's because the politics are criminal, you know. I've covered a lot of different things in my career, but a lot of them have been investigative and have been crime. So yeah, that's my space.
It is. You're very good at it.
Well, I appreciate it. And I think that's, you know, it's always interested me. I've had a fascination about it. And I think I'm pretty good at doing it. So I see no reason why I wouldn't continue.
We could have probably, if we had more time, talked about it. There's so many different
offshoots.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even get into trafficking. We didn't get into Sound of Freedom. Yeah. I mean, any of that. And I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't think we should even start down it because
I promise you I'll come back and we'll do all that because there's so much to do. But I do want to tell all the folks watching today that we have a promo code for True Blue.
Let's go.
True Blue is a streaming crime network that we've had for about a year now. So if you go to Logan24, that's the discount promo code for anybody who wants to sign up for True Blue.
You got ahead.
So they can go to watch. Yeah, I know, exactly.
That's awesome.
I like this.
Yeah. Watch TrueBlue.com, TrueBlu, and subscribe monthly. Put in Logan24 and they'll get a discount.
Always plug, Chris.
Dude, manager Jeff is watching this right now. Like, yo, he's so
good. Dude, thanks for joining us.
Hey, man. Anytime. Seriously, thanks, Chris, for having me. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here and continued good luck. And
thank you.
Take care of that eye.
Yeah, I will. Got to get some ice on it. Yeah, dude, Chris, like you've been so kind. And well, I told you
I appreciate
this.
It.
Huge fan. Keep doing, fighting the good fight.
We will.
Keep entertaining us along the way. And yeah, hit that subscribe button. My turn to plug. Guys, hit that subscribe button. Thank you for watching. 2024 off to a great year. Chris Hansen, ladies and gentlemen.
You almost clapped by yourself. I'm here for you, bro.
My claps, dude.
We'll see you next time.
Peace. Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.